You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by Longhorn legend Derek Johnson, linebacker for the Longhorns, 2004 Rose Bowl champ, I believe, All-American, everything you could ever want, blue chip coming out of high school, 10-year-plus vet in the NFL for the Kansas City Chiefs, first-round pick, really, truly one of the greatest Longhorn linebackers of all time, and certainly one of the most memorable. The Bolo Punch was Derek's claim to fame in college. One of the things he did. Derek is joining us today in regards to one thing I want to mention first and foremost, and that's a nonprofit organization that he has called Defend the Dream. It can be found at DerekJohnsonFoundation.org. Derek, thanks for joining us. Let's go right off the top and you talk about what your foundation is so we can get people to understand what you're trying to do now in Austin.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the introduction, by the way. You know, make an old man feel good. My foundation, Defend the Dream Foundation, is near and dear to my heart. You talk about a foundation that's an extension of me. I started it in Kansas City. And Defend the Dream Foundation caters to inner city kids through education, specifically literacy. So we're all about coming into Title I schools, especially the inner city elementary schools that need help, being able to launch it here in Austin right now, the last four or five months. And I'm telling you what, man, it's been tremendous, the amount of support we've gotten so far. I mean, from COVID Cadillac to Kendra Scott. I mean, everybody's jumping on board because they have a passion for giving back to inner city kids through education. And what we do is we go into Title I schools and we do a library makeover. So we do this library makeover. And I mean, libraries are the heart and soul of schools, especially elementary schools. And when you go to inner city schools, you go in there, you look around and you're like, man, this is, you know, if you want these kids to get on grade level reading and to get their, you know, their reading up, we got to do something about the library. And this is what I do, you know, nice paint on the walls, fat heads. I mean, a couple functional furniture here and there. That's actually the easy part. That doesn't cost as much. The big cost comes from getting them age appropriate books, you know, providing it. Cause I don't know if y'all know this, but library books cost a lot more than those Amazon books, paperback books that you buy for $5. Actually library book costs about $20. So you can imagine how many we need for these kids. And what we're doing, we're putting the focus on reading is the foundation of everything. And in inner city schools, if they are not on grade level reading when they leave elementary school, it's a high percentage chance. I mean, half, 50% chance that these kids won't finish high school. And that's I mean, we're talking high school. That's ridiculous. So for us to get them while they're young. Of course, junior high and high school is important, but my focus is to get the inner city kids while they're young, foundation around reading. And my mom's a school teacher, so that's where I get that vision from.
Derek, it's interesting to hear you with the passion you have in your voice. It sounds like you're attacking this like you attack the football field.
And absolutely.
I think that's great. You recently did a tie-in with Horns with Heart, the 501(c) approved group at the University of Texas, focusing on NIL-based charities. I think the offensive linemen, it sounds like, based on what I heard, are going to go out and help you do work on some of these libraries together. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. Hornsville Hearts, they're a group of people that are passionate about giving back. They're not about profit. They're about giving back and helping the Longhorns. And through this new NIL deals, I tell you what, this is going to, you know, a lot of people talk about NIL deals and they talk about the bad that it can create. This is one of those instances that's really good. And I partner with them because I'm a Longhorn, obviously. And when you talk about linemen or you talk about YouTube players, when they do an initiative, when they do a project, when they come out into the community, they're going to be coming out into my my foundation and helping me read to the kids. When you talk about painting and just kind of getting involved in the inner city and just I can just remember now when I was in college and I had a couple opportunities, not as much as opportunities that they have now, but whenever I would go to schools and mentor kids and, you know, do different things, man, it brought such a joy to me just because they look up to us. They really do look up to us. And for me to partner with my nonprofit organization that, you know, provides the proper resources for inner city kids and have Longhorn football players to come in and help out and to get behind me, not just me standing there, but for other bigger, you know, they're a lot bigger than me now. You know, I lost a little weight, but I tell you what, man, I'm excited. Horns of Heart are really a great group that is doing a lot of great things, and they are what they say they are. They're horns with heart.
Gotcha. Well, Derek, I feel like you know, you do this stuff, and I've been involved with charitable organizations too. You do it. You know, I do it, and you just see that one little spark from one guy or one kid or one family, and that makes it all worth it, right? I mean, if you're affecting just a few people every year, it really works. And I think that what the work you're doing, I think people would tell you is you know, honest, good stuff on you. I appreciate it. Again, DerekJohnsonFoundation.org. They are taking donations and helping the inner city youth of Austin, a former Longhorn legend. Derek, I want to now get into some of what a lot of people obviously are going to want to hear about from you, and that's your football career, your time at Texas. I want to start, though, with your recruitment, because I always think it's fun to go back and say, I remember when, right? And I remember watching you, and I literally went up to Johnny Tusa, and Johnny Tusa, this was like you were a junior, I think, and I just went like, who is, you know, what? This is the first time I'd seen you. And he just looked at me and goes, yeah. that's all he said to me. And I, you know, he said he's going to have everybody in the world after him. This was when recruiting started a little bit earlier than it does now, when kids are sophomores and even freshmen getting offers, right? But anyways, tell us how you ended up at Texas. I thought it was going to be Oklahoma for a long time. Because Tommy Harris from Killeen, which is near you, had just went to OU from up there. They were recruiting that Syntex region really hard. How did you end up at Texas? I think the fans would like to understand that, because I think it's a great story.
Well, you know what? It was, everyone says, oh, you know, he had a chance to go to Texas at OU. Those were the top two. But honestly, Texas was head and shoulders over OU in my mind. But OU was in the mix. I had a lot of friends at that time, Tommy Harris, Jonathan Jackson, a lot of guys that, you know, Mark Clayton, a lot of guys that were coming out, really great players, by the way, that chose to go to OU. They were going to, they were, you know, anticipating going to Texas as well. But being a Longhorn fan and just gravitating to them, just it's something about that Longhorn that I didn't want to miss out on. It's something about Austin that I didn't want to miss out on. And Mac Brown is a big reason. I mean, when you talk about recruiting, if you can not only, you know, influence the kid, but you can influence their parents, you're home free. And I'll tell you what, Mac Brown is probably the best at doing that. And I tell you what, by the time he got through talking to my mom early on in the process, my mom was like, "Hey, we need to go commit." Like, I'm like, "No, you know, let me take the business. Let me just do it all. I know kind of where I'm going, but I still want to go through the recruiting process." But I tell you what, man, that was the best decision of my life. I love, you know, bleeding burnt orange and being in this community. Just being a part of a rich tradition that I cherish for the rest of my life. So,
yeah, you know, what's interesting, you actually went to a Kansas City club that had some success with former Longhorns. Priest Holmes made a, you know, resurrected a great career in Kansas City. You come along, then Jamal Charles comes along as well. Yep. Y'all were, it was Kansas City Chiefs at the University of Texas, or however you want to say it. You know, tell us a little bit as a pro player, and you know, you and I were talking a little bit before we got on, and you were early to this interview, by the way. Not everybody is early, like, you know, and we were laughing about it, and you were saying, "Look, I'm always early. That's one of the things that, you know, the NFL teaches you." For young men that want to make that transition, or for fans that want to hear about how different that transition is from college to the pros, as we watched the NFL draft last night, right? What is it that you really have to do differently in the NFL and get yourself accustomed to, I guess, versus what you have to do in college?
Well, you got to have more responsibility and accountability on yourself. You know, don't get me wrong. College gets you ready for that, because they, you know, you're a young man, and you know, depending on the college you go to, they'll get you ready for that NFL life. Not all the way ready. There's some onus on yourself that has to go down. But man, it's about creating good habits. You know, when you create good habits throughout, I mean, during good times and bad times, when you create good habits, that's just, you know, your habits form who you are. And at the end of the day, when I get a chance to go to the NFL and to live my dream, if I can create good habits and develop good habits throughout that process and learn from my mistakes, because it's never going to be perfect, obviously, but learn from your mistakes, man, you will seize the opportunity and you know, pass with flying colors. And that's what I tried to do when I went to the NFL. And I'm always, you know, about being early. You got to be early. I mean, that's kind of, you know, in the real life and the real job, a job world, you got to be on time. And that just shows your character. That shows you care. When you're in NFL, if you're late, I'm talking 5 seconds late, and it's $10,000. So, I mean, that'll get a little bit of fire under your butt. But it does teaches you, hey, you got to be on time. This is important. Everybody else is here.
Yeah, I think that accountability is the right word, right? Because you're in college, you're only really responsible for yourself in large part, even if you're a member of the team. But when it's a job, then you're responsible for any wife, kids, you know, you got teammates and fans. That it's just a different deal. And I think that it was something I wanted to share with folks as well. So I watched you in high school. You were tremendous. I mean, one game, I think you had 30 tackles, a tremendous player. You show up at the University of Texas as a true freshman. And, you know, you had some wow plays, in my opinion, as a true freshman. But the one that I will always remember is actually the Holiday Bowl when you were out in San Diego and y'all were playing the University of Washington. Chris Sims had gone out. Major Applewhite came in. Y'all were trying to come back from a big deficit. Fairly, I think it was double digit, like almost, I think it was more than two scores, right? And trying to come back. And you made a couple of plays in that one. One was a sack that you just obliterated. I felt bad for the quarterback in retrospect. It was almost like that. It was almost like that Andrew Kelson hit on Joel Klatt, where you just,
yeah,
I mean, it was just that pulverizing hit. But the other one that I remembered, and it was more about all out effort, was it was a third down play, and they had been hitting the tight end over the middle quite a bit on you guys. And it was Jeremy Stevens who ended up playing in the NFL for a long time.
Big, tall tight end.
And you barely, I mean, I'm telling you now, you barely tipped a ball that clearly would have been a first down. They probably could have, you know, added more points. But that effort by you as a true freshman, I was just like, man, that's a complete player. Not only is he going forward, which is easier to do, right, as a young player, I think. Players like yourself see ball, attack ball, right? But you were doing something more with your head as well as your body whenever you went and got into that passing lane just a little bit. You know, that maturation process for young kids and as you remember that game, you know, what did you take that freshman year at Texas and what would you tell any incoming recruits to Texas? I know you're just at the spring game and saw a bunch of the mid-year enrollees. What would you say to those kids?
Oh man. Football's hard. Football's a hard sport, man. It is, you know, people watch it and it's fun. You see people running into each other doing, you know, running sideline to sideline, making touchdowns and interceptions. A lot of stuff is going on, but,
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Football is more about the mental side of it because that's how you make plays. Of course, physically, you see us running around and we're specimens. I mean, we can run fast, jump high, and we're strong. But the mental side of the game, it just sets you apart. And I really, really, actually, when I got in the NFL, I learned even more about that because you got to go to the next level. But specifically talking about when I was at Texas, man, that was a big – that moment gave me momentum. And, you know, there was moments that created momentum for me to help me, to propel me to keep going up each year. And that freshman year, man, that was big time because I didn't even – I had the most tackles on the team that year, and I didn't start. I started two games, you know. So that tells you that when I was in a game, you got to seize the moment, make plays when you're in there, control what you can control. And because we had three seniors, we had Eric Rawls, we had Tyrone Jones and D.D. Lewis, you know, so, and I was a freshman. So I had to kind of break into there and they were all just, they included me in open arms, a young guy. I tell you what, when I actually got a big sack and then I got an interception. So, I mean, the crowd, I mean, I think I watched it a couple months ago. Crowd went crazy. And I mean, it was all like, because that was a big game for us. But I tell you what, the mental side of it, man, if I wasn't, you know, didn't have six kiddos, wifey, and being a philanthropist, I would probably be a coach. But that'd be later down the road. I got kiddos. I'm a coach right now. But just the mental side of the game, I love it and I'm into it. Whenever Texas is playing, I'm always tuned in. I'm stopping it, you know, rewinding it, seeing, you know, because I'm real technical when it comes to defense and, you know, how they can do better. But I tell you what, man, football has really blessed me. And it really challenged me to get better mentally and physically.
Well, you know, you mentioned that you were at the spring game. What did you see? What were your initial takeaways? You know, the Longhorn defense was disappointing last year, I think, by all. I mean, even they will say that themselves. So it's not.
Yeah.
We're not talking bad about them or something like that. The offense kind of sputtered and was hit. I mean, it was sometimes it looked like $1 million and sometimes it didn't. You know, what would you say after watching them this spring overall?
You know what? First of all, Coach Sark, I believe in Coach Sark. I believe that he can turn this around. When you come in to college, man, it's much different from the NFL. You know, NFL, you come in and you go to free agency, you buy this player, buy that player, boom, boom. And you just, you know, you can get to the promised land a lot quicker. But Sark, it's going to have to be about building culture, building foundation, getting more guys in that are dogs. You know, I'm kind of relating back to when I was in, you know, that's how we won. You get you a few players. You don't have to get everybody, every starter. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to be a superstar, but you go get those few players that are a little bit better than everybody else. And then they can raise up everybody else's talent around them and the level of play, man, you'll be surprised how quickly this will turn around. But Coach Sark, I'm all in with him. You know, he's a guy, whenever I come to campus, he's open arms when it comes to former players coming back. But he pushes us on the players. Hey, let's go. You know, when you're out here, hey, go talk to this guy. Go talk to that guy. And that tells you the character of him, just knowing like, hey, he knows that we've done a lot. So he's like, hey, I need these guys to see this. Y'all need to be around these guys. And I need to go around them more, actually, now that I talk about it. But I like what I've seen in the spring. Obviously, we need a couple more guys. But the energy, you can tell the energy is changing. It's not the victim and excuses here and there. It's not that. It's all about, hey, we're trying to get better. The energy, I love it. When I was out there, you know, doing a couple, I went to a couple spring practices, and I tell you what, I get those goosebumps. I'm like, man, I wish I was out here with these guys. But it was, it's great energy with the Longhorns right now. Obviously we're optimistic about the season, but we got to do a lot of work. We got a lot of work to do. So.
Gotcha. Texas clearly has some offensive weapons, right? I mean, I think that Bijan Robinson, if you've been to a couple of practices and watch games, I mean, he's a top-notch guy. What about the young receivers, Xavier Worthy and Isaiah Nayor, those guys, Jordan Whittington even, did they catch your eye or anything like that where you were like, hey, these guys might have a future in the NFL at some point?
Absolutely. Winnington and Worthy, you're talking about guys that especially Worthy, super fast. I mean, he's a guy that's not that big. So for him to be able to create space and be that vertical threat that we need on offense, because, you know, they're going to crowd the box. They're like, come on, they're going to come up. But when you got Winnington, a guy that's a veteran in the locker room, he helps out, not a small receiver either. So he can do stuff across the middle. But they have a couple tight ends that are young and big and physical. And I'm looking at them, man, they look like, you know, defensive ends on the outside. I mean, I'm talking about good defensive ends that can run. So I'm sure they probably played a defensive end in high school, but I think it's number zero and somebody else. But I looked at them, I say, man, they are really, really good. And but at the end of the day, it starts up front. So we need more production out of the offensive line and defensive line. That's just what it is. If you want to do anything that's going to last in football, of course, the quarterback play has to be solid, but offensive line, defensive line, every single time, it goes through those guys.
I'm going to switch gears with you for a moment. What's your favorite memory as a Longhorn?
Favorite memory? Oh, that's a good one. I have a lot, man. Just being able to win the Buckus Award and the Nagurski Award, because Buckus, these are goals that I had, you know, winning the best linebacker and the best defensive player in the nation award, that, you know, coming from the Longhorns, representing, you know, my team well. I always remember that, going to those award shows, meeting Dick Buckus and saying speeches and all that stuff. It was a moment to remember. And the first thing I really think about when you think about moments is thinking about the OU game, you know, and I've won a lot. I'm probably 10 plus season every year at UT. So we've won a lot. I tell you what, man, my my record with OU is not good. And I tell people, and I'm 0-4 against OU. I'm 4-0 against A&M. So, I mean, I don't know if that evens out, but my stats, if you line up my stats on OU week, you know, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. But we just couldn't quite get over the hump, especially that last year, 2004. We win that. We go to the, you know, national championship at the end of the day. But I tell you what, man, I wouldn't do anything different. You know, being a Longhorn, I've learned a lot. I've been around probably one of the best players offensively and defensively at UT. And it taught me a lot, and it helped me to have a successful career in the NFL.
Derek Johnson, you're a pleasure to listen to. You're a pleasure to watch as well. I think I say that for all Longhorn fans. Derek now operating and running the Defend the Dream can be found at DerekJohnsonFoundation.org. Please consider a donation. It helps inner city youth build libraries. Horns with Heart, the Texas-based 501c3 nonprofit that created the Pancake Factory, is going to help them paint and put books in the libraries and put up fat heads, right? That's what you were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that on the walls to try to make it fun for kids, which I think is always that one thing. And like we said, if you can make one difference in one guy, you just never know what that can lead to in life. Derek Johnson, you made a difference for a lot of people. Hook 'em horns to you, bud. Hook 'em.
Thank you. Hook 'em.
All right. Take care, man.